We've got 4 or 5 seconds, but anyway, welcome to Sunday school on this beautiful crisp morning. We just need rain. Man, they keep saying it's going to rain. It never does anything. But anyway, glad to have everybody here this morning. Got our normal crowd, plus we got a couple visitors that's trying our class out, and a couple folks sitting there, and a young lady on the back. I told that young lady, I said, most of us are old in here. I said, but they're nice. I said, there's stuff out in the gym that probably suit her better. But anyway, she's back there, pretty young lady. So anyway, okay, we'll get started today. I'm gonna kind of veer off where we stopped last week. And getting ready to go into the tribulation period, I want to back up a little bit and talk about the judgments, because people get confused as Christians where we're going to be when all this revelation stuff starts, when the 7-year tribulation. So I'm going to back up to the cross and kind of start there today and come forward with the judgments, and we'll see the judgment seat of Christ. If I can get past that today. But anyway, that's kind of where I'm going to go today, and then we'll finish up with judgments at the end of the tribulation and then judgments at the end of the 1,000-year reign. And that way everybody thinks there's one big general judgment, and it's really not that. There's five, and one's already happened, which is the judgment seat of, is the judgment of Christ on the cross for our sins. Anyway, Danny, come and get us started.
Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to see you in church this morning. We had a little foggy start, but we made it here, and we're thankful for you. So I would like to welcome our guests. We have Mike and Grace Babcock that are visiting with us this morning, and this young lady back here, I don't know your name, but welcome, and we hope you enjoy the class today. You may see some folks wandering around today with some cameras, taking some videos, and just smile at them. We don't have to do anything, don't have to say anything, but just having them in here, and it's part of the outreach that our church will have for 2024. So let's go to your bulletin, and on the center page, in there we have our upcoming events, and I'd like to talk about three of them here. On Monday and Tuesday, November 27th and 28th, the Christmas parade float will be work days here at the bus garage, and so if you do anything on helping with the Christmas float, that will be a day for you to mark on your calendar. Also, on Saturday, December the 2nd, we will have our breakfast visitation outreach, and that will be at 9:30 a.m. in the Family Life Center. And you're welcome to come to that. There will be breakfast served, and then go out and knock on doors. So look forward to that. Also, that day in the afternoon, there will be a great Christmas parade. So I don't know if any of you participate in that parade, but it's an exciting time. Gives us a chance to pass out tracts and to let our church name be seen here in Grace. So, also on Tuesday, December the 5th, the Oasis Christmas dinner will be had, and also a movie with it. So I know that many of you have come to the Oasis, and I know that will be real exciting to have that on Tuesday, December the 5th. It's from 5 to 8 p.m. in the afternoon. It's not what it normally is around lunch, but it's later in the day, so mark that. And also on Saturday, December the 9th, there will be a shower here for Summer Scroggs, who's a missionary to Botswana, Africa, and she'll be looking to have things to take with her as she moves to Africa. And she's also looking for things to use in her medical ministry there. So that's the only things that I'm going to read out of the bulletin. And we're looking now at our prayer list. And as y'all know, we have a number of folks that are fighting cancer. And I was talking with Judy Martin this morning, and her sister, Iva May, has been in hospice care, but she's losing ground day by day. And they say that it's gotten down now to about a month, and that's being optimistic. So remember Iva May in your prayers. And then her other sister down in Georgia is also losing ground slowly. So remember these two ladies. We're also praying for Kim Brummett. Kim is dealing with this cancer in her life, and she's really having some testing times here, so remember her. Miss Judy Whitson, Miss Sharon Harmon. Sharon's been having a really rough time lately, too. So Bob Bryant, who was our men's teacher down the hallway here for many years, Bob got to come home from the hospital, and he's under hospice care also. And so just pray for Bob and Charlotte, and pray that God will give them grace and mercy and strength during this time as they battle this. Also, Ms. Frances Lawson, one of our class members, is over in NHC in Kingsport taking rehab. And if y'all would, please remember her. She's losing blood, and they don't know where it's going. So remember her in prayer. Ron and Wanda Huskins have been out. They are usually here in our class. And many of you may not have known their name, but they always sit over here on the my left, your right. And they're both sick. They're both having a rough time, so remember them. And I don't know now, anyone else have a need or have an unspoken or have something you'd like to lift your hand this morning and tell us about? Yes, ma'am, Vickers. Unspoken? Okay. Unspoken for Pam? Okay. Yes, Miss Nancy? Amen. Our praise back there. It's always good to praise the Lord. The Bible tells us, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. So we need to give him praise. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and we'll ask his blessings upon this class time. Father, we thank you for this day, and God, for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings. And Lord, we especially thank you for answered prayer. God, just a prayer that's been answered even last night. Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for others that have had answered prayer in their lives. And Lord, thank you for being faithful to us, Lord. And God, we pray for these others that were mentioned this morning on our prayer list. And God, we pray that you would deal in each life, each place, Lord, as your will is. And God, may you give them the strength and help and mercy that they need in these times. And Lord, I pray also for our class time this morning. Brother Steve has shared with us that he's going to go back and talk about these judgments. And Lord, that's a wonderful thing to know so that we don't get all confused about things. And I pray you'll give him grace as he talks about that, Lord, and shares with us what you have for us. Thank you again. Bless our church today. I pray you'll bless the service to follow. Bless our pastor. Lord, I pray that you give someone today in their heart knowledge that would be saving knowledge, Lord, if they're here and don't know you. And God, thank you again for all you have done and what you will do. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I want you to think about application today. As we've been talking in the last weeks about the signs of end times, and we all still have loved ones that are not saved. I know Thanksgiving time is here, and we always thank the Lord for supplying all the food and our family's health and things like that. But number one on our hearts and minds ought to be thankful for His salvation. We must make it clear to our family members and people that we know that we're all running into discussions today about what's going on in the world. And we want to point people toward Christ. And as people start talking about revelations and what's going to go on in the future, the Bible tells us certain things. Doesn't give us times, but it tells us exactly what Christ and God is going to do. Just as much as the New Testament tells us exactly what Christ did that day on the cross, and how the Old Testament prophets prophesied that, and you can go all the way back to Genesis and Adam and Eve, and God came on the scene and told Satan that he would bruise his heel eventually. Well, when Christ died on the cross, that is the first judgment that God did for the sin of mankind that started with Adam and Eve. Now, we all know that it's been preached and taught that this sin comes through the blood, and we have that sin nature in us. It's inherent in us. And we deal with it every day as we live our lives, as we touch others' lives, as we pray and pray for other people. So many people sick with cancer. What a terrible disease it is. You know, I dealt with that 2 years ago in my life with my wife, with Debbie at the time. And God, we pray that people get healed. And because of God's goodness, He wants nothing but good for us. And sometimes we think, why didn't God answer my prayer in the way I wanted it answered? Well, because of what He did on the cross, and people that are saved and are facing death know where they're going, and we know where they're going, and we ought to celebrate what Christ did on the cross that day. Now, when we start talking about judgments, a lot of people get a little confused. Some folks teach a general judgment at different times, post and pre-tribulation, and back and forth. Well, I believe the Bible's clear on that, and we'll get into that a little bit. But today, we want to look at the first judgment for our sins. It's all about God dealing with mankind. God came down to us. We didn't do anything to get to Him, and we still can't do anything to get to Him. It's all about what God did, what Christ did on the cross that saves our ever-dying souls. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He set the plan in motion in the beginning. From the foundations of the world, He set the plan in motion. And we, by faith, we've read these verses and understand some of these verses, but by faith, we've got to accept that. And know that if you die today without Christ, you're going to wake up in hell. We know that's the truth. And now we have another danger on our doorstep. It's not really a danger. It is a promise of God that He is going to come back. And we've talked about that in the last couple of weeks. The danger about that is if I've got somebody that's not saved, and in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ rise, and we'll go with that crowd. We'll be gone. And our loved ones are going to be left behind to deal with the Antichrist through the tribulation period. And if they make it through that, then there's another judgment at the end of that that we're going to get to. That Christ is going to look at the what they call the sheep and the goats. And if you're not saved, you're considered a goat. Them folks are going to be cast into hell right at that point. They're not going to go into the millennial reign. So it's important, so important on these judgments of mankind's sin, that the urgency in our hearts and minds that we ought to take an opportunity every chance we get to tell someone about Christ and say, it's important if you die what's going to happen to you, but it's also important if the rapture happens today. And with the shape that the world's in, how close are we? God doesn't tell us the time, but we are very, very close. All things have happened according to the Bible that needs to happen for Christ to step back in the air and call us home. So today I want to start with judgment number one. A lot of people look at the judgment seat of Christ, the throne of glory, the great white throne, as judgments, but actually there's five judgments. And we're going to start with number one, the judgments, and we're going to break them down. The subject of the believers as to sin. Because of sin, in 30 AD, basically, we can say that, Christ died on Calvary for our sins. God seen fit to stop the sacrifices. The curtain was tore that day from the top to the bottom in the tabernacle, saying the symbolized we don't need to do anything else. We can't do anything to get it, can't do anything to keep it. And the Jewish nation didn't grab onto that. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and those political groups that was involved in the church and the Roman Empire, they didn't want to accept that because they liked their positions. And that kind of carries on in today. We've got some churches that like the ceremonies and all that goes on, and they like that kind of stuff. We've got new churches that start, and there's more entertaining than there is preaching the truth about sin. So this judgment at Calvary, the basis of this judgment of Christ is His finished work. From the foundations of the world, we know the Bible tells us, we can go back and read those verses. But I'm just reminding us all, from the foundations of the world, God set this thing in motion. Some people talk about predestinated. It's predestinated by God that if we get saved, we have the inheritance of heaven. That's the predestinated part of it. It's not, you're not predestinated. You start to lean over to Calvinism, and where people think, well, you don't have to do anything, they're going to be saved in this group, and this group ain't going to be saved. That's not the way it is. Because we know there's verses that say that Christ died for all mankind. For all mankind. So that day on Calvary, God had you on His mind. Christ had you, think about that, take it personal. Take it personal that Christ knew Steve Mullins that day that he was dying for him. For my soul. Take it personal. We've got to get that across to family and friends that they are a sinner and Christ has already solved that problem. They'll just accept it and believe what He did on the cross. That's the judgment, God's first judgment. Because of the sin that came into the world at the beginning with Genesis. Nothing surprises God. Because of that, Christ was the end of the law to everyone that believes. He made it so easy that all we have to do is believe. Believe that what he did saves us. Believe that what he did keeps us. There is nothing we can do to be saved or be kept or anything. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law just shows us, the Ten Commandments just shows us how evil we are, how evil mankind is. And we've seen an example of that here lately in this war on Israel, how evil people can get. The devil just uses this religion that they think is right in their minds. They've been fooled by Satan to believe that that is the right thing to do. How evil is that? And that's why Christ died, because the mankind is continually, the heart is deceitful and continually deceitful. And God knows that. He bare our sins on his body. Being dead in sin, we're dead in sin. I'm just trying to remind you of all these things. Everybody knows. We all in here have been saved for years, most of us. But the urgency of it and what's going on in our world today, the light people making, the generation that makes light of sin, that cares not what they do, what kind of sinful life they live in. There's no moral conscience. It's a mess. We need to wake up our children and our friends and our family if they're not already awake to this. I praise the Lord for my young ones. They got saved many years ago. Got a missionary. Got this wonderful daughter and family up here singing, and Wes involved in Temple Baptist. I mean, I've been blessed. Talking about Thanksgiving, I'm so thankful for my family. I'm so thankful for that God. When I lost my wife a year or so ago, I was so torn and lonely. Some of you none understand that. It wasn't for me to be that way, and I prayed for God to help me out of that, and that lady right there walked in my life. That's answered prayer for me. There's so many things that we deal with, and because of what Christ did on the cross for me, at 13 years old, I trusted Christ with my life. Now, did I not live a perfect life? No, none of us are perfect. But he saved me. And I know I'm saved, and I feel I'm saved, and I feel I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me richly. We just need to be able to get that across to folks that are not saved. What a wonderful freedom life that we have with the love of Christ dwelling richly in us. The world is not getting it. General church sometime, folks just come in the doors and they sit there and they hear the message, but do they really understand that Christ, and it's preached from this pulpit, but sometimes it takes one-on-one. Sometimes it takes that for you or I to talk to somebody and tell them that God sent his son to die for them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Not going to have? Has it right now. And shall not come into condemnation. Won't be judged. See, because of this judgment on Christ, we are not going to be judged at any of these future judgments that's getting ready to happen. But passed from death unto life. What a wonderful promise. Do you believe that? Have you really got a hold of that in your life? Have you got your family and friends to get a hold of that? The believers that believe that the judgment for sin at the cross was settled. See, we start telling people, well, you need to be saved, and we start pointing toward what they've been doing wrong. We don't need to do that. We just need to say, if you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, you're going to suffer loss and go to hell because it's just in your blood. You've inherited it. And you can't blame, say, you did this and you did that and point to this and point to that. Just say, you need to be saved. You need to recognize as a sinner because of what happened at the garden, you've inherited that sin and you need Christ and what he did on the cross to save you. It's threefold. As a sinner, we are. As a son, daughter, we are. As a servant, we are. When we get saved that day, we become those things. Sinner, son, or daughter, and a servant. Have you ever been a servant? I know I look back here and I see people that taught Sunday school for years, rode buses for years, served for years. Many of us have been there. Brother Harry and Miss Vickers, missionaries, on the ground, working. We just blink our eyes a lot of times and don't realize that we're still a sinner. But we really don't understand that because we've trusted Christ, sometimes we don't realize I'm a son. I'm in the family. You're a daughter. You're in the family of God because of what Christ did on the cross at this first judgment, the judgment of sin of mankind. God took care of it at that time on the cross. Changed everything. Changed everything. We see that because of this sin that we inherit, it gives us a natural depravity. We can say it that way. You look at little fellers, they've not been taught to sin, but they can get kind of nasty before they understand anything. It's easy to sin. It takes effort to not to sin. I mean, there's so many ways we can talk to folks. So many ways we can talk about sin. There's outward acts. There's inward acts. We can just think things and be a sinner. And we all know those things. There's wrongdoings that we commit, and people want to categorize sin and say, well, that was just a little white lie or a little this or a little that, and justify it. Sin is sin in God's eyes. Little sin, big sin. If you've not trusted Christ, you're going to go to hell for that. There's good people. There is good people. Great people that you know that are living good lives and they've not trusted Christ. And they're going to wake up someday standing in front of God at the great white throne judgment, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. It's going to be a sad day for them. Sad day. Good people. Good people. No doubt good people. Many of them like that. We just need to emphasize that this unconfessed sin in our lives, will bring on punishment and chastisement. For us that believe and are already saved, we've seen people go off, and you can't tell whether they're saved or not, and give the cross a black eye for the way they act. That kind of stuff is so pitiful. We need to talk to people about that and explain that God's not gonna let you be successful in anything with that going on in your life. Chastisement will come. It will come. Unconfessed sin can be just it can be bad. It can be bad. So as saved ones as we are, just remember all those things. Sometimes we float through life and we don't think about the seriousness of it. And right now, I think, I was talking to Levi the other day, so many people starting to come to his church there in England, and they're working on getting this thing started in Africa. And so many people wanting Bibles, wanting to be saved. Different nation in England, there's so many nationalities and so many more religions and beliefs from around the world because they're there. And he's seeing those people change their mind about what they believe and trust Christ as their Savior. It's time. Things is happening. Things are moving. And we want our loved ones to get in on that. Now let's look at the second. Now we talked about we're living in a dispensation of the church age. So from the Old Testament to the cross is a different dispensation. That's the time. Dispensation is not a word, nothing but a word that has to do with God dealing with mankind. The Bible is just written telling us how God came down to man and dealt with man in the Old Testament. When Christ died on the cross, everything changed. The Holy Spirit came down and dwelled with people and stayed. Prior to that, the Holy Spirit would come and go in the Old Testament prophets. So now we have the Holy Spirit dwelling richly in us and anybody that was saved after the cross. That's what Christ did. He came back and told the disciples that. I don't think the disciples really understood it all. Even that day when 3,000 people got saved and they were speaking different languages and everybody were understanding what they were preaching. They were as amazed as I'm still amazed how God does all those kind of miracles. But it changed. It started the church age that we live in. It started the age that Gentiles were able to be saved. See, that's where the Jewish nation and some of the people that were in charge of the Jewish church at the time didn't agree with that. Didn't agree with what the disciples was preaching. Didn't agree with what Christ was preaching. That's why he died on the cross. That they couldn't accept that. They couldn't accept that new thinking that they didn't have to go through all these ceremonies and eat certain things and dress certain ways and live certain ways and work for their salvation. That's how it was done in the past. And the tabernacle and the sacrifices took care of all that for the nation of Israel. After the cross, we see that not only Jews could get saved, but God finally sent Paul up to the Gentile nation and the Gentiles got saved. Many, and here we are today in a New Testament church from that history. You can chase it back. Especially this church, as old as it is, goes back to the East Coast and back up to Maine and back over to England. And we know that the Roman Empire left England in about, I wrote it down here somewhere. The Roman Empire left Britain about 426 AD. And the Roman influence on the churches then the New Testament stuff started preaching and it got over into England and people got saved and here we are today. Many of us have other nationalities, I know that. I've got all kinds mixed, mostly Irish. But now we're looking at a situation here is the second judgment. The judgment for believers works. You and me are going to be judged for what we do as Christians. Now, when does that happen? We're in the church age. Picture that. The cross is in the past. The time is not set. The indicators for Christ's return has been, we've talked about that in the last 2 weeks. All the indicators are saying it could happen anytime. And it's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to wake up in heaven when it happens. Christ comes back in the air, don't come all the way to the earth. And the great rapture that's always been talked about is going to happen. That's the next thing on the calendar. And the next thing that we're going to do is going to go to number two judgment. The second judgment of man. And we're going to be judged not as sinners. Don't let this get confused with the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000-year reign. That's for sinners. This is going to be our judgment. Now, do we get judged for sins? I've had people ask me, you mean to tell me we can stand in front of Christ or stand in front of God and he's not going to ask us why we did this or why we did that? No, because the Bible says that he has put our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. That's not even in my thinking because people do wrong things to me and I remember it. I try to forget it, try to forgive them, but it's still there. We're human. God has the ability, when we get saved, to forget our sins and throw them in the past and he never brings it back up against us. Is that not amazing? So this is the number two judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. It's after the church is called out is the time. The place will be the judgment seat of Christ there in heaven. Now, why this is going on, of course, we've got to look back down to earth and people say, well, what's the rest of everybody doing? Well, they're getting ready. They're going through the 7-year tribulation period. It's what's going to happen on earth. During this time, we're raptured out. We're in heaven. We're at the judgment seat of Christ. And the great white throne, the great 7-year tribulation period is going on. And we're standing in front of Christ. And he's going to judge us for our works. Now, what have you done that last? You're going to have results. It's going to be reward or lost. And we can read those verses, and you've probably heard them before. But don't get confused. You're not going to get judged for the wrong you did. Christ is going to ask you what you did for him while you were saved. What'd you do? Did you witness to anybody? Did you help on a bus? Did you invite anybody to church? Is there anything that lasts? What lasts? Think about what lasts. What are you going to take to heaven? You hear people say, well, you know, that guy right there, he thinks he's going to take a trailer load of stuff with him to heaven. Well, I've never seen a trailer hooked on a hearse. But what did he do for the cause of Christ? Did he witness? Did he tell anybody that the end was coming and they needed to be saved? Have you done that? Have I done that? We all have to answer that question. Christ is going to look us in the face with fiery eyes. And the Bible says that anything that's not worth talking about will be burned up like hay and stubble. What will last? What will last? I can think about young people when I was running a youth program in a small church in West Virginia in my younger days. And a young man that come out of an old coal camp and single parent home. And I just kind of took that old boy on and said, kept inviting him and kept somebody picking up and bringing him. And, you know, somebody in the church that lived up that way, I touched him. I said, can you go pick that guy up? Is that the kind of stuff Christ is going to look at? Well, of course it is. And he's going to look at that old boy that Sam drove his old car up there to his house and picked him up and brought him to church. And from that, on a Wednesday night, sitting in a stairwell, I got to lead that young man to Christ. Is that going to get burned up? No. That's what God's going to talk about, is those things we've done for Him. Now, sorry to say that I haven't done a lot of that. I'd like to say I've done that every week, but I can't, because I'm still dealing with the flesh. Think about Preacher Lassie, how many people he's led to Christ. Think about Brother Harry, how many people he's led to Christ. But is God going to look at numbers? Is He going to compare us to him and him? No. He's going to look at you. He's going to look in your eyes and say, what did you do for me? So this is the second judgment. And He's not judging sin. He's judging me and you as Christians. That's a sobering thought to me. That's a sobering thought. I don't know that I look forward to that day. I look forward to going to heaven. But am I going to get a thumbs up and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? I don't know. I can't compare myself to anybody else. I have to speak for me. Each one of us has to speak for yourself. That's coming at us. And it could be tomorrow with the way things are going in this old world. I'm going to have to quit. So I'll finish up Judgment 2 and we'll get on to the rest of these judgments next week. Thank you all for listening. Y'all listen well. You're not like a bunch of teenagers talking all the time. Anyway, y'all have a good Thanksgiving next week. And be thankful for salvation. And use this information to speak to somebody. And look, if you've got a family member and you feel like you can't talk to them, you call me, Pam, and I'll come instantly and talk to them and try to lead them to Christ. I'll do that anytime. Anytime you've got anybody, you call me. My phone number, you can get it off the website. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for Christ and what you did on the cross. So we pray for today. Pray that you give us a good worship service this morning. Pray the preacher speaks, preaches your word, that our touch heart change lives. Lord, we'll see somebody saved today. Lord, we thank you for all the promises that you have. God, you've been good to us. We just thank you and praise your name. Praise your name for what you do every day. You're good all the time, Lord. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.